And now, it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie. You feel me
if you live it. Hello, Charlottesville! It is Sunday. It is 10 o'clock, June 25th.
Yes, it's
2017, and this is Homegrown, your local show about art on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, and with me as always is the lovely, loquacious, lascivious,
no,
Leslie M. Scott Jones.
What's up? That was very loud. That was very loud for a Sunday morning.
I'm a loud person.
Yeah, you are.
We have established this.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying. I guess I'm being Captain Obvious this morning.
New. It ain't nothing new to the people of the Homegrown community.
Right. They should know you're loud.
Twist. Yeah, it is what it is. I feel so rude. I'm not facing our lovely, wonderful guest.
I know, right?
lovely and wonderful. Too. Thank you.
Lovely, wonderful. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been an interesting week. How was your week, David?
Don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Well, all right. Moving right along. No, my week was awesome. I got new ink.
Show the ink.
Okay.
We're going live. Show the ink.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. That is good stuff. That is beautiful stuff.
Can you say what all of that represents and what it means and blah, blah,
it's
blah?
It's the seven symbols of Kwanzaa. And so my daughter and I, so my mom, my daughter and I went on the road trip, right? We went to the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis. And nice. My daughter's name is Nia. And it is one of the symbols of Kwanzaa. It's her in Nigerian, her name means purpose. So we're looking at the seven symbols and I was like, ooh, you should get that as a tattoo because it's your name. Like, that would be so cool. And she's like, no, I want all seven and I want you to get it with me. And I was like, seriously?
That's she's exactly like, yes. How Nia sounds, actually, ladies and
yeah,
gentlemen.
Yeah, because we're the same person. But so I was like, seriously, all seven? She's like, yeah, let's get all seven. And it should be in this infinity symbol so they all mesh. And unity should be in the middle. And I mean, she was seriously excited about it. So
no, because if you're going to get something permanently affixed to your body, you kind of want to know what and where it is and where it all needs to go.
Right.
You kind of need to have all that like hammered out.
Well, and
I
so,
would think as an adult.
So I got mine last Wednesday and set the appointment.
You were first.
I was first. Okay. And so set the appointment for hers at the end of July. And so I go down to help her move out of college into my mom's house. And so I get there at like 9:30 at night and I'm like, Mom, can you help? Like, I got to put stuff on this and it's kind of hard to reach. And so I show her to her and she's like, oh, and she's like, you know, dabbing the ointment. Mm-hmm. She's like, when are you going to stop writing on yourself? And I'm like, Mom, I'm not seven and it's not magic marker. Okay.
Like, yeah. Because yeah. So, I mean, that's like the, like Shel Silverstein's unscratchable itch. Like that is the worst spot when you want to like put on some like Gorilla Goo or something.
Yeah,
so what are you going to do about that? You got to like rent a brother and come over to like smear your shit down.
You need a little extra money, David? Mm. Is that what you're saying?
Oh. Something like that.
Is that what you're saying, though? You need a little extra money? Like, how much would I have to pay you? Because I have to put it on twice a day. So.
Okay. Oh. No. I mean, well, how much are we talking?
Well, that's what I'm asking. How much you want?
I'm just saying, I'll send my quote over.
Okay.
Around 11.
All right. And you know,
we'll hash it out.
I'll look out for that and, you know, send you back an approval or a denial.
Because, I mean, if I got to come there and back, it's like gas money and,
that's
you know.
That's true. It's a short gig, though. It's only probably 5 minutes.
She's got a cat, so there's like allergies.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Excuse me.
Like that. I mean, I'm trying to get this money. Like, I don't know about Shaw.
Well, you know what?
If
you go invoice me for all of that, you're going to be doing a lot more than just rubbing some ointment. God damn. Wow.
It is.
If I got to OCC,
look, if you keep yelling out the letters, real. They're going to keep looking at us even more. I'm trying to keep it on the low. Look,
maybe,
I'm sorry.
Maybe we should go to our guest.
I had a really bad weekend.
Maybe we...
It just keeps continuing.
Maybe we should just go to our first guest.
It's a snowball.
Maybe we should do that. Ugh. Can we do that?
Mr. Brian Gary.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the world of homegrown.
I like the topic we're on. It's perfectly fine. The gig economy.
This is what I like. The guest that just rolls
I'm with it. It's great.
Accidental radio violations, things like that. You are in the studio because you are the director of this wonderful show called Woody Guthrie's American Song, which
Absolutely.
Is kind of becoming this new musical classic. And so talk about that for a little bit. Talk about Woody Guthrie.
Yeah.
Because I know about Woody Guthrie. Like my and he was one of them like cool folk white boys that I got down with. Like Guthrie, for real. Guthrie,
no,
that's
Dylan,
awesome. Yeah.
And James Taylor. Like, those are my dudes.
Yeah.
And who else? Paul Simon. Love me some Paul Simon.
Awesome.
So it's like, I got down with, you know, a few select one of those. And Woody Guthrie was one of those. I was like, yeah, I could totally like vibe with this guy. So
cool.
Talk about Woody Guthrie in general. And then talk about the show.
That's a good way to start. So Woody Guthrie, my goodness, great American songwriter.
Indeed.
Unbelievably influential. A lot of folks don't even realize the influence he had on America.
Arlo Guthrie's son.
Arlo Guthrie is the son of Woody Guthrie. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. And so some folks are sort of familiar with Arlo Guthrie if they're familiar with Bob Dylan and that mm-hmm. whole scene that happened kind of after Woody Guthrie.
Mm-hmm.
But Woody Guthrie was really the founder, if you will, of this movement. A folk revival movement that happened in the 60s that then led to, I think, in many ways, a lot of 20th century pop and rock music as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
So that influence over the 20th century is profound, even though, and during his time, Woody was quite a controversial figure. Because he was associated with the Communist Party, even though he claimed he was not a communist,
mm-hmm. yeah,
he wrote songs that were disruptive.
He wrote songs about the times that they were living
exactly
in, and he didn't
right.
write about "I Want to Hold Your Hand" or "She Loves Me."
That's exactly
it was actually
right.
about topics and subjects that were relevant to the social time and change that was going on, and that shocked and scared a lot of political figures.
That's exactly
so
right.
that would add to the controversy, quote unquote. But
yes.
I don't think he was so. Much that.
In fact, to just throw that in, you don't get Bob Dylan without Woody Guthrie.
Right.
And you don't get socially relevant Beatles without Bob Dylan meeting with John and
That's right.
Paul and saying, I like your music.
But
you're
what are
not
you doing?
Written about anything.
Yeah. That's right.
What are you doing?
That's
yeah.
right.
So
and
the
John
end,
saying, oh, crap.
That's exact. Very good
Well,
point.
Maybe we should write about something different.
Well, even the song that
but
most
girls,
of,
John, just girls, and, just girls and dancing, John. What's wrong with that?
Well, it's more about that, Paul.
There's not a lot wrong with that, really.
No, there's not.
But they went further than that. That's
there's
for sure.
room for everything,
that's exactly
is what
right.
we're saying.
Interestingly, the classic song that most people are familiar with, This Land Is Your Land, that's sung probably in every elementary school. It's
yeah.
sort of just part, it's an iconic song in America, was a response to God Bless America. So Woody Guthrie didn't believe that the God Bless America song, which was getting tons of airplay at the time, really reflected the feeling of the country. And so it was a response to that number.
Hmm.
So even that, in its own kind of now iconic classic, you know, all-American song, which it is, was a disruptive act in itself.
At the time.
But yeah. you're right. And so that's Woody Guthrie. And I was introduced to Woody Guthrie through this piece in ways that I was not familiar. And really, my esteem for him, or his esteem, has grown for me in terms of the impact that he's had. So this piece, so what's cool about this piece? So I think what's great about this is, on one level, this is just an amazing set of music. To be able to introduce folks who may not be familiar with this music is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we've got wonderful singers, Michael Clem, whose profile here in the studio
Michael! We love
is being
Michael.
Featured. He's amazing and is doing a great job. It's his first foray into a theatrical performance, which I know he's excited and a little anxious about, but he's doing great work.
By the way, you're welcome. Because a year and a half,
reason behind that?
I am because
excellent.
A year and a half ago when we had Michael on the show talking about his new CD. Afterwards, I was like, yes, I'm taking credit.
You're welcome.
Yeah, because after. after the show, I was directing something, and I was like, Michael, seriously, like, you should do theater. Like, it's performance. It's the same thing that you do, except you get to speak. Like, it, you know, it's nothing different. You should try it out. And he's like, oh, I'm too busy. I don't know if I can fit it in, blah, blah, blah. And I asked him again, and he's like, oh, I don't know. I've gotten touring this summer. I don't know if I can do it. He's like, but this is interesting. I'm definitely going to, like, look into doing some type of theater. Fantastic. So, by the way, you're welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So, Michael,
this is my co-host.
So he's a local musician, as most folks know, if that are familiar with the musical scene here in Charlottesville, part of Eddie from Ohio, a well-known group. And so he has been terrific. And so he's part of it. So we have a cast of five actors, musicians. We have a band behind them. So on one level, this is just a great celebration of classic American music. On another level, it's an introduction to Woody Guthrie.
So talk about the concept of the actual show. Is it like an opera-based thing where it's just all music throughout the whole thing, or is there like more dialogue in the middle? Like, talk about the actual
concept. Sure, it's very unique in that way, in that it is not musical theater as you would expect musical theater. It is not really a concert. It is not really a tribute show. It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of all.
Cool.
So it is yes, yes, and yes. I mean, it is a piece that is set in and any place 1930s and 40s, so that we can be introduced to this period in which Woody Guthrie thrived and lived. And it is his music wrapped around his stories, wrapped around his life.
Okay,
so it is a journey through Woody Guthrie's life, and it's a journey through the stories that Woody Guthrie told about.
So where did you get the dialogue from it? Did it come from something like interviews with him, or something he had written, or was it made up? Like,
of that.
Cool.
So this piece, which is a piece that was written by Peter Glaser, took all of Woody's, from his writing, from his interviews, most of the dialogue in the piece is something that Woody either said or wrote. But most. And so it's framed in a way to give you a flavor of how Woody was through his dialogue. It does have biographical pieces. We're also using projections and images to kind of reflect the period of the time.
Most of us
are not aware of what happened during Woody Guthrie's life. It happened in the 30s and 40s. The dust storm disaster, the migration of folks out of that part of the country, west to California, looking for work during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
So most of us know that conceptually, but by having these images in this music, we hope we can kind of not only inspire people like Woody Guthrie did. This is what Woody did, I think, amazingly well, is he took a terribly challenging subject, let's say the dust storm disaster, and he wrote this beautiful, inspiring music about it. So the contradiction of this horrific event with this beautiful music is cathartic, it's comforting, it's inspiring. So we hope to create an evening where people can get insight into that, but just leave singing.
Yeah.
Most people in some of our rehearsals have come in and said, I just want to sing along. And there'll be some times when you can sing along.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Just let us into it.
Yes.
All right. Let's hear a little bit.
Let's hear a little bit.
Wonderful.
This is from Woody Guthrie's American Song.
Storms that ever filled the sky. You could see the dust storm coming. The cloud looked death-like black. And through our mighty nation, it left a curtain of black gold down. So we loaded up our jalopies and piled our families in and rattled down the highway to never come back again. On the 14th day of April, 1935, there struck the worst dust storms that ever filled the sky.
This is Leah Calvani. You're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
It is 17 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Homegrown, your local show about art on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, WPVC. And we're talking with Brian Gary about some Woody Guthrie. My man. So what I like about Woody Guthrie is that, like, he shouts out all the states like rap artists do, like, yes. Like right? North Carolina. Like, he's talking about us. Yeah, he's talking about us. He's talking about
that's
our
me.
Place.
That's me. Y'all.
That's exactly that's me, y'all. Right. But he did it before it was popular.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like, he made it that thing. So it's like that all, like, inclusive.
Right. Well, he traveled everywhere. I mean, that's what's interesting. He wrote about where he was. He was in Oklahoma. He moved to New York for a while. He was in California. And everywhere he went, he wrote about what was happening. You know, he wrote about the Grand Coulee Dam because that was being built. And it was an amazing thing. And it helped people get jobs. And it created all this industry. He wrote about the dust storm and all that happened there. He went to New York and he wrote about this experience in New York.
So did he move on purpose, like, to get inspiration? Or is that just something that happened in his life and he used it?
That's exactly right. I mean, his life is interesting, and we'll talk more about that.
Well, exactly. Oh my God, you should be on the show with us. We're going to take a quick break.
Perfectly.
We're going to do some stuff. Pay some bills. We'll be right back. Drop. Okay, it's 19 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, this is Homegrown. Your local show about art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We're talking about Brian Gary. We're
Hello.
Talking with Brian Gary. We're talking about Woody Guthrie. Woody Guthrie's American Song at UVA Heritage Theater Festival, June 30th through July 8th. Talking about Woody Guthrie and his travels, how it influences songwriting.
So was the travel something he did to get inspiration, or was it just his life?
He was just living his life, man. I mean, just like all of us, he had a challenging life, and that comes out in the show.
Most artists do.
I mean, well, he had multiple marriages. He came from poverty. He had... What many folks may not realize is he suffered from Huntington's disease at a time when Huntington's disease was not widely known.
Hmm.
His mother died at a young age from this horrific disease. He also had the disease. It's a genetic disease that's passed generation to generation.
Really?
We know a lot more about it now. He was diagnosed at 40 years old with it. That
wow.
caused all kinds of disruption in his life. You essentially lose your physical faculties and your mental faculties. So at 40,
whoa.
Till he died in his mid-50s, he suffered from the effects of this disease. Disease. So one of his legacies is that it really started an awareness of this disease that has led to many organizations kind of helping and caring for people who are afflicted.
And how horrible for that to happen to a musician. That's exactly right.
He lost the ability to play at an age, I think it's a young age. It's about the age I am right now.
Right.
And so part of his moving was just his own sort of, certainly artistic craving, but it's his own life situation.
His own restlessness.
You know, his own restlessness, his own challenges in life, his need, frankly, to make some money and find his niche in the world.
So how hard was it to direct this show? Because it seems like an amalgam of different types of theater.
Sure.
So
that's exactly right.
So how did you navigate directing something that not really a musical, not really a straight play, not a concert? Like
that's
how did
exactly
you
right. yeah,
how was
well,
melding that together?
Well, how well I navigate will be determined next week. We'll see how that works.
How many people show up?
Exactly. So we did try to approach it with treating it as a unique piece that it is. We really wanted to first embrace the music. For me, the music had to be solid. It had to be beautiful. It had to be well played, well executed, well sung.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get that right, you don't really get into Woody Guthrie. You don't know his impact on the world and right. on other artists. Mm-hmm. So at first and foremost was music. And so we have a wonderful music director. We really made sure that we found actors who, and it's hard. Think about an actor who not only can act and sing, that's hard enough.
But play an instrument.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And sing yeah. harmonies and yeah. kind of blend in a way to really create this amazing musical experience.
Yeah.
And then you also have to have folks who kind of understand how to work together. It is an ensemble. Five actors play multiple parts. They're all Woody Guthrie at different times. They're all different parts of the story. You have to have a band who's comfortable being on stage. Mm-hmm. It's not a band in a pit.
Yeah.
So we've got three really excellent musicians. So we're really trying to treat it as a unique kind of performance experience.
Right.
And again, appeals on many levels. You can come and just kind of go into the music and just love the music.
Right
you
on.
Can come and learn about the period and be, I hope, moved by what people went through in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
You can come and also learn about Woody Guthrie and his impact on the world. So,
I have two questions.
Yeah, sure.
Both have two parts.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
all right. Shut up. It's like a job interview.
It really is.
I gotta write these down.
Always with me. I'm always interviewing
it's
people.
It's always.
Always getting the skinny.
This is David.
So you talked about the cast. You talked about
That's
bringing
right.
in, like, great people to, like, work with this script. Now, I would be remiss. We're a progressive radio station. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about, like, Woody Guthrie's views and, you know, him being so far left.
That's right.
Did a lot of people understand that coming, the cast members coming into the show? Was there any, like, kind of contention between views? And it's like, oh, when we got into the plane, like, oh, I don't know about this and blah, blah, blah. Because we are, you know, this is Charlottesville, so to speak, but we
you
are
bet.
Really, you know, there's a conservative Democrat following that kind of, like, happens around here. So, I mean,
it absolutely did come up.
Okay.
I mean, it's one of these things where for many folks, I don't think they, because Woody Guthrie has now been gone for a long time,
right.
they don't realize how radical he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so even some of the folks in the cast who are younger folks, again, familiar with Woody Guthrie at a certain level. And so this comes out in the piece, but it is handled, I think, well, in that it's introduced and brought out, but it is certainly not the focus of the piece.
Right on.
I mean, certainly his communist leanings come out, his passion for the working person, the working family comes out, and certainly his ability to comment on what's happening in the world comes out.
Right,
but it doesn't sort of
passion for the working person, which is taboo these days.
Well, see, that's
right,
what makes
certainly.
This piece, I think, especially helpful for us and our community. We're going through a turbulent time.
Yeah.
We're going through a very divisive time where you feel like you're going back 50 years in the world. Some days you realize
yes.
what is this? It's 2017,
which is perfect.
What
for
is
Woody
going
Guthrie's
on? Well, that's true. So it is appropriate, I think, to realize that at our roots, this kind of activism and this kind of commentary and this kind of us standing up for ourselves is apropos today, because we have
right.
to do that, to speak up now. And he did it through music. That's what's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Through music and through commentary. Yes, he did political writings. He did some activism, mostly underneath the surface. He
mm-hmm.
wasn't one that was on the front lines of the activism. But and he did it even in his life, and associating with Leadbelly and others, bringing folks together.
Right.
He spoke about unity and how it's all about the people
yeah.
first.
Yeah.
All right. So
that's awesome.
My second two-part question. First
okay.
time directing?
No, I've directed at Heritage Theater Festival for a number of years, directed in different places throughout my career. Been doing theater work for about 30 years, mostly in the acting space, but a lot of directing over the years. So fourth time at Heritage doing the directing work and loving this piece.
Is there anything about this piece that you've learned through your 30 years of direction?
Oh, man, you always learn through every piece you do, as you all know. In this piece, you know, I've learned a lot about just kind of really kind of going with the work itself. The work kind of speaks
yeah.
on its own, and you really want to honor that and kind of help elevate that. And so that's what I've learned. And also really the artists that you're working with. You when you come out, you'll see we have an amazing cast. They each bring their own gifts and talents, and I hope that we've been able to kind of elevate those as well as we bring Woody Guthrie's music to Charlottesville.
Yeah, man. And CDs are right here. I think Brian's selling them out of the trunk.
right now.
Like a true backpacker does.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly
that's right.
Because yeah,
we're
yeah,
all
yeah.
about the music. Woody Guthrie's American Song. June 30th through July 8th, coming to the UVA Heritage Theater Festival. Brian, Gary, thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice to meet you guys.
Please
Loving
come back.
This is great.
Yeah,
thanks for doing
You got the cues
work.
And everything. You're
that's
definitely
beautiful.
Coming back.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Next show.
Really
definitely.
Appreciate it.
All right. So are we going to do a drop or just
what are we doing?
Commercials? So professional. What's coming up? What's happening this week? Here's just some of the artistic events that are happening this week. Currently running, Dallas photographer Janine Mishnabel exhibits her new collection, Through the Darkness to Light. Photographs along the Underground Railroad at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center now through June the 30th and also through July 1st. Middletown, Will Eno doing his thing again,
right,
in Charlottesville. Jeez. Flippant yet poignant take on simple townsfolk battling life's absurdities in their efforts to become normal, quote-unquote, human beings at UVA's Heritage Theater Festival. Currently running now through August 27th is The Mysteries That Remain, the first museum survey of the work of acclaimed Australian Indigenous artist Nick Namirami. Jappeljari.
There we go.
At the Kulugi, yes! Rue Aboriginal Art Collection. And today, second day of Love Fest, Music and Art Festival at the X Art Park. Try to keep it down after dark, guys. And for the music options this week.
Why, thank you, David. Today, Morgan Maddox at noon at Wild Wolf Brewing Company at 2. Larry Becker and Brett Twitty at Albemarle Ciderworks at 2:30. William Walter and Gary Green at Glasshouse Winery at 3:30. Midlife Crisis at James River Brewing Company at 4. Oh my God, that's a lot. Okay, June 27th, Front Porch Roost Music School presents the third annual Tuesday Tunes with Daryl Rose. Woo! And friends at James Monroe's Highland High, a five-part series of sunset concert. Oh, my God, Dale Rose. We have to go see that, David. Travis Elliott at Fellini's, Coda and Maria Dirty Nellies, Brady Earnhardt at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, Seville Jagged Congregation at Stinson Vineyards. I've never been to Stinson. Do you know Stinson Vineyards?
There's
I've never been there.
There's like 800 vineyards in Virginia.
I know, but I've never even heard of this one. Okay. Punk. Post-punk. Grunge, progressive, psychedelia, sample mastering, power trio, Little Graves at the Anteroom on June 29th. Chamomile and Whiskey at the Glasshouse Winery on June 30th. Rob Cheatham Trio at Blue Mountain Brewery on the 30th. Sixpence Groove Rock Band Tequila Mockingbird at the Vila Sports Bar and Ultra Lounge. Billy Rockabilly Brockman at Wild Wing Cafe. June 1st, Jim Wave at Albemarle Ciderworks. Sammy Horn and then John Dearth at Fellini's. Luca Dora at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. LG and Fringe at the Whiskey Jar. Local hip-hop artist Lynn Prague celebrates the release of his new EP with Ordinary Chris, Bonnie Cass, Mitch Wise, Quista Beast, and Lasting Effects at Badeau at the Twist Just Branch Tea Bazaar. Oh my God, that was a lot. Okay, every Monday, Seafood, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Every Tuesday, traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Pro Ray Nada Farm Brewery. Every Wednesday, Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9, Mike Krasinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Every Thursday, John Dearth Quintet at Miller's. And that's what's going on for music.
Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Dan Gould's going to be in the hizzy. Their SR One Virginia 2021 executive director Brian Cannon and filmmaker Bill Oglesby. They talking about that gerrymandering. And
gerrymandering?
It's so funny.
Gerrymandering. Or Jerry Cantonese, whichever you prefer.
Ha! Ha! Okay.
I'll be here all week.
No, he won't.
Half an hour.
Not with those jokes. Not with those jokes.
But before I get fired, is my good friend Andy Davis.
Andy!
He's in the house.
He's back!
It's been so long!
Andy Davis is the Steve Martin of Homegrown Saturday Night Live. He's been on the show at least 26 times.
I want
there to be like a club, like a special club for the people who've done the show a lot.
We should
that
have,
can just
like,
have me like
plaques.
A five timers club or something
yes,
like that.
Of course.
Like a New York pizza shop, we just have like.
We can get you t-shirts. We can get you t-shirts, maybe hats.
And every time a new person hits my milestone, I need to come in and say, that's well, good for you. By the way, me being here adds another one to my tab.
There you go.
With an arrow going
through. We love Andy.
I love being on this show. I miss you guys.
We miss you too. So, are you here to talk about Bent?
I am here to talk about Bent Theater.
Yes.
And the shenanigans that we've got coming up.
You've always got shenanigans.
It's how we function in our day-to-day lives.
Right.
It's like wake up, coffee, shenanigans, lunch, shenanigans, afternoon beer, where we plan the evening shenanigans.
Shenanigans, right.
I'm actually here to talk about our big event coming up on July 1st.
Big, really? Huge comedy event going down, to talk about where it's at, what's going on with it, talk about this Bent Theater Improv Marathon. 18 hours?
18 a marathon?
Hours.
18 hours of improv.
It is a marathon. We couldn't get to 26 hours because people need to sleep eventually. I couldn't justify like putting things between like 2 a.m. and 8 a.m.
If they
next
play
day.
College basketball for 26 hours, you can definitely do it.
I think they have different people other than like they mix it up a little
yeah,
bit.
They would need to have relief.
3 o'clock in the morning for no reason.
We need to have relief comics if you were going to do 26
yeah, I guess.
Hours.
Yeah, we're calling in. I can't like the USO to come in and save us.
Right.
It's like the comedy.
You need
reserves.
Dancers at 2 a.m. Yeah, can you do that?
This isn't just improv. It's everything. It's all comedy.
This is going to be. We're going to start at on July 1st at Guerrilla Theater down there behind Seaville Coffee. We're going to start at 8 a.m. and we are going to run until 2 a.m. the next day. It's going to be. We've got six shows lined up. Six different shows. We've got. Three different classes. We've got a panel with some local comedians and improvisers who are going to sit down and just talk about the craft. We've got mixers for the a whole bunch of people, and then we're going to close it all off with an after party, which is where that last few hours is coming from. Because at that point, I think everybody's going to be exhausted.
It'll just be just and straight just, delirium.
Yeah, yeah.
And
delirium mixed
and
with fun, alcohol is without. Always fun.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's what we're hoping for.
Right.
Well, that really opens up the imagination. Mm-hmm. And
well,
it's perfect for improv, really.
Yes, at that point, with that lack of sleep, you stop, your serotonin receptors stop, working, and it's just like, everything seems like a good idea, let's go!
and it's funny, because, it was one of those, inspirational moments where I wake up and I see a text from Andy, it's like, I have an idea. And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, those are never, those words
and
coming from
like,
Andy.
Oh, no, it's work-related. I was like, okay, never mind. And then... He told me more about it, and I was like, this sounds like an exceptional idea, especially with the amount of improv that's going on in the city. I mean, there's y'all, there's Big Blue Door, there's Epic at the Omni. Mm-hmm. There's so many groups that are, taking part in this. So it's good to see. Mm-hmm.
So you reached out to other improv groups and brought them in?
I've reached out to a few different improv groups. Big Blue Door, some old friends of ours that used to work in Harrisonburg and in Richmond and now DC. I've got friends of ours coming down from school, from summer school or from their own comedy tours to come in and work with us. So we're still finalizing a lot of the roster, that's kind of the nature of this thing. Is we've Bent Theater's prepared to be there all day and do whatever we have to do to make sure that we've got a slot. But we're just reaching out to everybody that we know, and it's just like, look, even if you don't have a team right now, even if you don't have an actual act, show up. We will put you in something. You will have an opportunity to work.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So, so is there a specific theme, or are you just flying by the seat of your pants?
We've got it kind of sectioned out into what we're doing. I'm gonna start the day with a nice little warm up. We're getting somebody to come in and teach some improv yoga. Which, if you've seen a lot of improvisers, not a lot of us are built for yoga.
No, that could be funny just watching.
Exactly.
That.
Yeah, a nice little chill warm up thing. Where, take a few people to the hospital.
I thought this was the show.
No, baby, that's not how you do downward facing dog. No.
We're just getting warmed up.
His downward facing dog fell over.
This is the interpretive dance portion of the show. we're going to start with that, and we're going to roll into, we've got three different instructors who are going to be teaching classes during the day.
Cool.
They go about anything that they want to. A very good friend and great comedian and great improviser and great teacher. Alex Day is coming down from Minneapolis. We haven't had him performing in this town in like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Was, you know, did really good things for the comedy scene years ago. He's going to come, and I'm working on him right now. I don't want to spoil his class if nobody shows up, if he decides he wants to change it, and,
right?
You know, last minute. But I'm really excited for what for his class. It's very good for the progressive liberal granola-y crowd.
No.
Which we all are, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, we're artists. That's who we are.
That's what we do. That's
pretty much it.
And each slot, each act that we are bringing in or hoping to bring in is going to have their own, they're going to have their own thing. We're letting them do whatever they want.
Okay, cool.
Whatever their time is. Like, be you. Don't try to fit what Bent Theater is. Don't try to fit what Guerrilla Theater is. Just come in and do you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the mixers will be like a, you know, we'll do a short form one with the Whose Line Is It Anyway, Bent Theater Games, and we'll do a long form one with the Heralds and the montages, and then we'll do an experimental one where if you have a crazy idea and you want to do something, get up on stage. So you want to do an entire scene where it's just the two of you, you know, staring at each other with banjos and riffing off of, mm-hmm. off of people in the audience. You do that.
Yeah.
If it works, then maybe you'll have an act that we can do something else with for the rest of our lives.
It was called The Raging Bonitas. It was called The Raging Bonitas.
Oh.
I mean, it's been done. So, I mean, Andy and I have taken multiple improv classes, which kind of go about different routes of teaching essentially the same thing.
Hmm.
How to get out of your head. How do you think on your feet? How do you trust the person in front of you to just... do the things and not try to control the scene on your own. So I've always felt like everything that has been taught by whoever has had something new and different to say and has been beneficial. Is there one, besides Alex Day, is there another class in particular that you're looking forward to and just teaching completely something totally different? And
well, Joel Jones, who is with Big Blue Door, he's bringing his crew in. He says he's going to bring in a class for us. And I have never personally taken one of his classes. It's one of those things when you work in an arts community and when you run your own group, it's really hard to find the time to take the time to actually get out and learn.
Yep.
And this is a thing where you need to be constantly learning. You cannot just say sit on your laurels and go, you know, I do a show every week. I do 100 shows a year. I can just stop and just keep trucking. No. You're gonna get into a rut. You're gonna do the same jokes over and over again. You're not gonna grow. You're not gonna get better.
I will attest to be that improv is one of the crafts that is easiest to grow weak in a split second of time.
Oh, yeah.
You can miss a week of improv and be totally off your game.
Yeah.
It's something that you really just have to stay, you know, diligent with and just keep doing.
So Joel's been on the show before. So what he does is more long form stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I know Bent Theater does a little bit of long form, but that's not your main focus.
That's not our main focus. And for me, like, I've always called, and this is my personal opinion, and you can believe it or don't believe it, I've always thought that long form is more of an improviser's type of improv. Like, mm-hmm. they like, as an improviser, I go to festivals, I go to marathons, and I watch, and I love long form.
Right.
And I try to bring it back here, and I can see our group, and I see us do stuff on stage and in rehearsal that is like, this is amazing, this is really cool, and then you put it in front of an audience for me, and they I give Big Blue Door a lot of credit because they connect with their audience so well,
yeah, they
with
really
what
do.
They do, but like so many times we get up there and try it the same thing, and it's just like, hey, why didn't that work? And it's because it's just not what we do. So I always really look forward to, and I'm very much looking forward to taking that workshop with him and doing that and just kind of getting out of my shell. And you know, even people who I've taken classes with, it's always good to just be like, I'm not in charge. I'm a student today. I'm just here to have some fun, and
right
I'm
on.
So looking forward to that.
Right on. So, like, talk about that, because I mean, you've been a pivotal part in running it from a financial standpoint.
Well, and I know that people may be under a rock and not know what improv is. so they may be under a rock. You never know.
Is this another one of those situations where we need to call the Army Reserve again to get them out of there? It's like they're here to bail us out at 2 a.m. to get these people out from under a rock. You don't know what improv is?
They may not.
No, again, they've got the day planned out. Shenanigans. There's no improv.
A great place to learn what improv is at the Bend Theater 18-Hour Improv Marathon on July 1st at Guerrilla Theater, starting at 8 o'clock. No, are we going to do a drop now? Now? No?
No.
2 minutes.
2 minutes?
No.
I knew that.
Clinton said no.
That's fine.
Clinton said no.
He said no. Shut it down.
He did.
Shut it down.
If you drop it, you might break it.
We're just going to do Die Hard.
Oh, no. David breaks it all the time.
I know.
He does.
No, again, you don't want to see yourself as the leader of improv.
No.
You damn sure the director. Hmm. So, what you going to do after this? After the marathon?
After the marathon, I actually am taking a brief vacation. But after the marathon, we roll right back into what we're doing. We actually have our Improv 101 class launching like 2 weeks after that on the 10th of July, which is going to be running on Monday nights at the Guerrilla Theater. We got lots of slots open. If anybody's interested in that, they can find out information at benttheater.com. And I have an exclusive that I saved just for you guys.
What?
So no! Yeah. So we've been advertising the marathon for a little while. It's going to be $20 for an all-day pass. You come in first thing in the morning, you get a wristband. You can come and go as much as you like. Just for you guys, I saved this. We are doing a special right now, starting at this moment, as soon as my voice goes out there and as soon as I hit the send on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The first 10 people who email us at bentimprov@gmail, the subject line, 26 miles funny, will get into the marathon for $5. They email us, they drop their name.
75% off.
75% off. 26 miles funny, bentimprov@gmail. They will get into the entire marathon for just $5.
You heard it here, people.
You heard it
Homegrown.
Here. We're talking about the Bent Theater Improv. We're going to talk more about it. We're going to do a drop. We're going to be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop!
And done work on her
46 minutes past the hour, if you're just tuning in. What the hell is wrong with you?
I know.
We're almost done with Homegrown.
Over half of the show is gone.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice.
Set an alarm, people.
You can't claim sleeping in at 10:45 on a Sunday.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No, I know some girls that are in their UVA sweats. Like, oh my God, but I'm just so tired. I just imagine whatever.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
You're just imagining.
I'm calling out UVA students.
You're imagining that?
You're imagining UVA students in their sweats?
Right now?
You sure you want to admit that on the air?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, he already did, didn't he?
See, this is why I don't mess with y'all, because y'all are just dirty minded. Y'all just transform stuff into perverted.
You went dirty minded with that. We were just wondering why you were picturing people in their sweats.
This is what you think about. This is all you do.
We were just wondering why you were.
I work in retail, and all I see is these lazy ass girls come in with just sweats on. And they just dragging their ass up.
You can't
oh my God.
Sweatpants are not for going out.
I'm just saying.
No, actually, leggings are not for going out. I don't care what you say. Those aren't pants.
They're not pants.
Sorry.
That's enough.
I'm just saying.
The mini
rant. You got a thing, too.
Hit the mini
rant. They're not pants.
It touched a nerve, right?
They're not
pants. We're talking with Andy Davis about leg wear. And improv.
And comedy.
They go together. That's important.
I just want to present
there is a connection.
How the socks match
my
the shirt.
Because
that's how I do when I come into Homegrown or everywhere for that matter. You stay stunting. Hashtag stay stunting. Andy Davis in the house. I love you, Andy Davis, by the way. Bent Theater, head guru. 18-hour improv marathon going down the Guerrilla Theater behind Sivo Coffee on July 1st. Mm-hmm. Popping off at 8 a.m. Good thing Sivo Coffee opens at that same time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's...
Well, I want to be very, very clear. It's it starts at 8 a.m., but you do not need to show up at 8 a.m.
You need to show up at 8 a.m.
You should.
You need to show up
you
at 8
should, but if you want to go to the city market and get your...
No, CP time. Don't let them slide. Because they'll be showing up at 8:45 talking about, he said I didn't have to show up.
He said I could be late.
He said I could be as late as I wanted to be.
You have to be there. there right on time.
You have to be there at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
All Tom day. Coughlin rules. If you're at 8 o'clock, you're 5 minutes late.
Thank you.
Unless you're Odell.
unless you're one of the best players in the NFL. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Oh, my goodness.
What is improv?
What is improv, Andy?
You're putting me on the spot and making me just make up an answer for this?
Me having you as a guest on the show is putting you on the spot.
You have the answer.
I have the
answer. You have the answer in front of you.
I have the answer in front of me. I'm showing off Leslie my tattoo idea.
Yes.
And,
which
improv,
is awesome.
Improv is yes-anding. It is taking... It is creating something from nothing or something from the barest little bit of an idea. Not even an idea. A suggestion, a hint.
A word.
Taking a hint, a word, anything, and turning it into anything. And in the context of what we do, it's taking something and creating, scenes and games and comedy. But improv is not to get too...
You going to get existential with us?
Existential. I'm going to get existential when he stops. So go ahead.
It is very much what you do every single day of your life.
Well, it's honestly what you don't do every single day of your life.
True.
Because we are taught to lie. We are taught to omit. We are taught to not speak from the heart. We are taught to just keep our heads down and just. Do what everybody else is doing.
We're taught to fight, too.
Yeah, we're taught to do that. And improv is so not that. It's about positivity. Yes, anding. Mm-hmm. Not negating what somebody brings to the scene. Not saying, no, that's not a fish. You know, you say, yes, that's a fish, and we're going to cook it. Yeah, and we're going to make, what's it called?
Pesto?
No.
Pesto fish.
But yes, we're going to make pesto with it. We're going to make pesto fish.
We're making pesto
fish. It's
going to
make the most amazing pesto fish in the world. And that's how you do it. And the scene comes out of it, where they create a pesto fish shop, and it burns down, and somebody has to, like, claim the insurance money. But it's actually arson, because somebody set the building on fire. So you have to find out who set the building on fire.
Because they hated fish.
And I'm just creating an improv scene off the top of my head.
Yeah,
and that's what's beauty about it. It's getting out of your comfort zone. It's speaking from the heart. And it's the most beautiful art form, the most, genuine art form I can think of. And that's why I love
it's taking that thing. It's taking that thing. I'm moving, letting it go to the next thing.
Now I have a little tear. I have a little tear coming.
When I say something that I believe and I care about, and you're just like, with that condescending tone.
That was
bleeping
not
hate
condescending. It. Fine. It
I
was
already
condescending.
Have like four
You're
FCC
right.
violations right now, was, so I'm just going to.
It was absolutely condescending.
Just
You're right.
My, I'm just going to butt.
Because I'm horrible and I hate you.
Oh, stop
but
it.
But anyway.
Well, I mean, improv for me is like there are so many different definitions for it. And yeah, I mean, it. For me, it is freedom. It does get you out of that construct. It's like, but nobody scripts exactly what they're going to do in their day to day. You mean we try to? We say, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to do this. I've got this meeting. I'm going to do that. But at the same time, it's like you don't anticipate it. And it is that concept of even if you do not know exactly what is going to happen, being able to roll with anything,
deal with it,
to not just shut yourself down.
To face adversity.
Exactly. Yeah. To not shut down and lock yourself out of the world.
You get a barricade drop in front of you. You walk around it, or you step
over
it,
or Hulk through it,
or you talk to it sternly, and you tell that wall why you're disappointed in it.
David is very good at hulking through it.
Is that? I think that's my father's approach to it. It's like talking
mine
to the wall
well.
And talking to the
well.
Wall and telling you why.
I'm not
it's
mad at you. I'm just really disappointed.
Oh.
And then he goes up to his room to try to kill
himself. I'm gonna get a text when I get home. When I get off here, it's just like
you know your dad's listening.
A lot of art stems from. Parental situations and
no, I get you. My mom listens every week, and every time I say something, I'm like, "Oh,
geez,
parents just don't understand,
a call, man." I'm getting a call. I know. So where did this idea come from to do 18 hours of improv?
I will give credit where credit is due. Several years ago, like 7-8 years ago, Four County Players did a very similar thing called the Comedy Clash in their cellar. It was one of the very first things that they did in the cellar.
One of my very first stand-up comedy shows.
Yeah, and they did improv, and we got to there was no official class. It was a lot looser than we're going to have ours. Not that it was a bad thing. Like, right. I really enjoyed it, but we had a bunch of people show up, and some great things came out of it. Like I created an improv team that I've stuck with for years, that I love, and I'm hoping to bust out on July 1st, called Noir Prov, which is the film noir version of this of an improv. It's a film noir improv scene. We did stand up. I can't remember the headliner for that show, but
Jade Catapretto?
Jade Catapretto was not the headliner, but she was there, and she's a phenomenal comedian out in L.A., and we had a comedian with an E on the very end, she's a phenomenal comedian out in L.A., and she came out and performed with us as well, and, we got to see most of the Charlottesville Comedy Roundtable while that was still rolling, perform. It was an amazing, it was an amazing show, and I was like, I want to do that, and we don't have, like, a marathon or a comedy festival in Charlottesville anymore.
Right.
And this is a little taste of it and what this could be, because we have so many great performers doing comedy in this town. So let's try to get back to that.
So so if they're a performer, you still have slots open, right?
We have slots. They can email me. They can find us on Facebook, benttheater.com.
T-H-E-R-E,
because we're fancy.
I love the pinky. That's nice.
Always. It's so ingrained.
It's like
now.
The lowercase J.
They
email you and say, I want a slot.
Cool. If you want to do stand-up, there are going to be plenty of mixers for people who want to just jump in on the improv. If they have a team that wants to perform, hit me up.
If you see Andy Davis on the downtown mall, just scream at him, I want a slot!
And I will know exactly what you're talking about, and I will just go, yes, and then walk away. We'll part ways and get on the first.
And Andy Davis.
Yes.
And my white brother. I love you.
I love you too.
So
man.
Much.
I love you. I love you too, Leslie. Yeah.
I love you too.
I love you too,
Andy.
Clinton.
There's a lot of love in this room right now.
Get the hell out of here.
Right.
We gotta finish up the show.
Bye guys.
Bye, Andy. Oh my God!
Yep,
that's a little mean, David.
Yeah, no, Andy knows I got love. Stay tuned. After the show, we'd like to thank our guest, Brian Garrett. Weekly rant coming up next. Now
he
go.
Always forgets
now.
Me. All right, so here we are again. Another week, another name added to the list of people murdered by a scared police officer. Another officer acquitted of murdering someone. The question is no longer why. The question at some point has to be when. When are we going to realize that this is systemic? When are we going to realize that having a portion of the population that has the authority to kill another portion of the population with no consequences goes against everything this country was founded on? And when do we take steps to change it? When is the body count high enough to justify and demand change? I don't know the answer to any of those questions. Sometimes I wonder if anyone is asking them, because it seems impossible to me that people could ask them and this could continue to happen. But here we are. As artists, we have an unusually singular position. We are in a position to change how people think about society. We are in a position to engage an audience and tell them a story, enthrall them in a part of the human condition that they have never experienced. We have the ability to change hearts and minds in a way that no lawmaker or protester ever could. I would argue that it is our duty. It is a solemn and sacred duty that we as artists have to educate, entertain, and move people in ways that no other profession can or will. And now more than ever, we have to take it seriously. We have to treat it as a mission, a job, a quest. We have to be serious about it, because in a world where we are all detached from each other because of phones or iPads, music players, Netflix, Twitter, Instagram, the thing that we miss is connection. We have forgotten how to sit and have a conversation with someone across a table and enjoy their company. We have forgotten the art of making a conversation with a stranger. We have forgotten how to disagree without vitriol and hate and personal attack. We've forgotten that we are all human. and art can heal that. Art has to heal that because it may be the only thing left that can. And that's the Weekly Rant.
I can't agree more. Yeah. By the way, Mike Signer, if you ever want to come on the show and talk about art and politics, things like that, just let us know.
You just can't let it go, can you?
Mike Signer, we love you. We'd like to thank our guests, Brian Gary and Andy Davis. Coming up next is Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Dan Gould. Their guests are One Virginia 2021 Executive Director Brian Cannon and Bill Oglesby, filmmaker, talking about gerrymandering, salamandering, Jerry Seinfelding, all that good stuff. Thank you so much, Clinton, you the man. Andy, I love you. Dan Gould, we'll be right back. This is Homegrown. See you next week. Peace. Before we see it, you take it. Oh, make me wanna holler the way they do. No, no, baby, this ain't living. No, 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 no. Inflation, no chance to increase.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.